It's time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian with Immunutrition right here in Madison. Amber, welcome back for another week's program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about the subject of childhood obesity today and how what the community can do about it.
Yeah. I know it's a little bit more of a serious topic than chickpeas.
Yeah, well, we've got that covered now.
Or some of the other ones that we've done, but I think it's a really important topic. And this week is the week of the young child. So I thought it could be good for us as we talk about, you know, celebrating early childhood education and talking about how we can support families. Nutrition plays a huge role in all of that, from how well kids do on testing to, you know, what health looks like in their 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond. So we know that habits as early as preschool can linger into adolescence, linger into adulthood. So learning healthy skills at this young age, this young child age, can be beneficial for a long time. And really, any of the things we talk about today are beneficial for everybody.
Right.
So I always like to preface this kind of stuff by saying, like, I'm not saying every meal has to be perfect. Ours are not. I have two young children in my home. It doesn't mean never having dessert. It doesn't mean creating extra stress for families. This is really about reducing family stress around meals and around health, really. So to kind of steer away from kids for just a second to set up a little background here, there was a new study that was published here in the last week or so that was looking at rates of overweight and obesity and availability of food. So what this study looked at is they looked at how many grocery stores, convenience stores, dollar stores, specialty food stores, any other establishments that sell food to be prepared at home, so not restaurants. They looked at how many of those different businesses were in a certain area. They looked kind of by county compared to how many people lived there. And what they found is that areas that had greater number of these stores per 1,000 people tended to have higher rates of obesity and overweight. But if the variety was greater in all of those things, then it tended to be less. And that, whether it's rural or urban, didn't matter. It was more about the number per 1,000 people. So when we think about our smaller communities that have and are able to sustain multiple convenience stores, we have a dollar store in almost every town now. So we have a lot of places to get food. And a lot of our smaller communities don't have grocery stores. So the grocery stores are kind of hubbed in the, what we would call larger for this area, but not larger, I guess, if you live in a metro. But some of our bigger towns in the area still have just that one grocery store.
Or stores that sell produce and all that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Not just all the fast food, convenient food.
That's right. And, you know, that's not to say that the dollar stores and the convenience stores aren't super important to the community, right? And don't play a big role. It's just about the availability of less nourishing food. So the more less nourishing food available, the higher the rates of obesity are really what they saw. So our family has discussed this even a handful of times since moving. We moved from a metro area. We live right in the heart of the Twin Cities, first ring suburb, and moved out here to a rural area. And the availability and access to certain types of food, the amount of food, if one store is out of something, you've got another store 5 miles away or less that will probably have it in stock. You don't always have that luxury in areas that are what we call food deserts, which I know you've said before. We're not right. So much a food desert out here. But again, that's not just rural areas. That's super urban areas or even suburban areas that don't have a lot of grocery store access.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I read an article one time about people in urban areas. They've got, you know, a lot of stores and a lot of things, but most people don't stray more than a couple miles away from their home. I mean, their whole life is spent, you know, in a small area.
Yes.
In the urban area.
That's so exactly
a lot
it.
Of small towns within a big town. So
absolutely. And when I so between my undergraduate degree and doing my internship to become a dietitian, I worked at the University of Minnesota on a study that looked at adolescent and young adult eating behaviors. And one of the things we looked at was for a lot of these adolescent and high school kids, like teenager kids, what is their access to from school and from home to convenience stores versus a grocery store? And a lot of those families do get most of their food at that corner market.
Well, if they're a couple blocks away and you can run over there and get something as exactly. opposed to the grocery store a mile away, I suppose.
Especially if you don't have a car, right. if there's already a big commute. So this doesn't just affect us in rural areas.
Right.
It certainly affects anybody who just has easier access to the less nourishing food,
right.
which still keeps you alive, right? Just not necessarily healthy. So as I was digging around with this, coming back to the kiddo side of it, I came across the Minnesota rates of obesity for counties and for zip codes. And I saw some interesting statistics for kind of our listening area. And I'm going to put this map up on my Facebook page so people can go and kind of dig in a little bit more if they're interested. But a lot of our listening area is in the top third counties for the highest rates of under 5 overweight and obesity, which I think most of us would say is a little bit concerning because we certainly don't want kids to be growing up with, even though we have a great healthcare system out here in all of our communities, there's a lot of health concerns that can come when rates are that high. So some of our communities out here, when we look by zip code, have upwards of 40% of kids, and they're looking at kids on WIC because that's just an easier sample because those kids are having
They have the figures, they have the statistics already dealt.
That's exactly
on file,
it.
Right.
That's exactly it. But when we look at overall for Minnesota, overweight and obesity are not associated with income. So a lot of this information for children is probably applicable outside of the WIC families. And WIC is a great resource. That's something we'll talk about here at the end as well. So I'm certainly not discouraging that by any means. It's just easy statistics. But when they look at that, some of our communities out here have upwards of 40% of the children on WIC are overweight or obese. And keeping in mind, those are our young children. Those are kids who are 5 and under that are experiencing this. And that can have a lot of health effects moving forward. So out here, when we are such close-knit communities that love to help each other and that love to find ways to just improve our lives out here in rural life and small-town life, what can we do? I think there are some great things in place already. Like I mentioned, WIC. We have some good resources. We have good food shelves out here. Our school lunch programs, all of that kind of stuff are a great starting point. Our farmers markets out here are not always as well utilized as I think they could be. There's even a Facebook group that I noticed has started with some local gardeners that want to help share and sell their produce. So, you know, coming together as a community now that we're getting closer, I know it doesn't feel like the growing season yet when you look outside.
It'll be here sooner.
It'll be here soon enough.
Yeah.
So when we can kind of grow our own food, share food, things like that, that can be a great way to help as well. Also, if you're hosting events, if you've got things that you're bringing a lot of kids into, the more that we can make meals desirable yet a little bit more nutritious, the more we can help in those areas too. Sometimes families rely on some of those meals as part of their day-to-day, part of their budget, all of that. And then supporting local businesses. Our grocery stores kind of sometimes in a small community end up in a tricky spot because they are going to carry what people are going to buy, right? And when it comes to things like fresh produce, it goes bad quickly. So if people don't buy it, that's just money lost.
Right.
So I encourage people, you know, get together with other people that are in your circle. Most of the grocery store owners out here are more than happy to order whatever you're interested in as long as people are going to buy it. So if you've got a group of people that are going to buy something and you approach somebody, a lot of the business owners around here will be more than happy to partner with you on that and bring some things in. So supporting those local businesses, I think, is also really important to helping enhance the quality of food that we have close access to. If you're a family that's struggling to access that nourishing food, those resources that I talked about, kind of reaching out and utilizing those resources, talking to your primary care provider and meeting with a dietitian, whether it's me or a dietitian in Appleton or Dawson or wherever it might be, and remembering it's perfectly fine to use canned and frozen fruits and vegetables. They're not our enemy. They don't lack nutrition. They just sometimes have some extra stuff that we don't want to be focal, like salt and sugar.
Which we've talked about in previous programs.
Exactly. So totally fine to use those things. Grow your own if you can, and reach out if you need some help.
All right. Well, all good advice.
Thank you.
Like you say, the farmer's market season is going to be here pretty soon.
It's so close.
There's one in just about every community around here. I think
yes.
they're getting more popular all the time. So
yes.
A lot of people promoting that. So be listening and watching for details on that.
Absolutely.
And if they want to find you,
yeah.
at IMU Nutrition. How yep. can they do that?
You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com, or on Facebook at IMU Nutrition.
And as anybody reads a paper this week, we'll see you are working with Madison Healthcare Services as well.
I am. Yep. So talk to your primary care provider. You can see me there. If you've got organizations that want a little help with this stuff, feel free to reach out.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate the info. We'll see you again next week for another Taco Tuesday on Q92.
Thank you.